Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Mem Rabbi Avraham Goldar, and today we're Zechus Yavamas Daf Mem Aleph, the fourth parak Kochot Yavimto. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Gemara asks, Mesa Ishto Mahmi Yavimto. What is the din in a case of where a brother was Mekadesh the sister of a Yavama who was waiting for Yibum and the sister dies? Is the brother permitted at the Yavama? Rashi explains that the question is, do we say that since his wife had died, the Isser of a wife's sister is removed and he may marry the Yavama? Or do we say that since at the time the Yibum took effect, she was prohibited to him as his wife's sister, even though the Isser of a wife's sister is removed, the Isser of Esha's Ach took effect and she's considered like the wife of a brother who has children and is forbidden to him forever? Rav and Rabbi Chanina both say he's permitted to take the Yavama, and Shmuel and Rav Asi say that he's forbidden to take her. Rav said that Rav's reason for permitting the Yavama is Mushum Dehavia Yavama Shehutra Vanesra Bechaz Behutra, because she is a Yavama who was initially permitted to the Yavam, then forbidden, and then permitted again. Takso Vehetera Rishona, therefore it's logical. She returns to her permitted state. Shmuel and Rav Asi hold Kevin Sha'amda Lav Sha'achaz Be'isr Netzra Lav Olamis. Since the Yavama stood before the Yavam in a forbidden state for even one moment, she's forbidden to him forever. Pointing me to the next Mishnah states, Hayavama Otachos Litisyabim Ad Sheyesh Lo Shlosha Chadashim. A Yavama may not perform Chalitza and is not taken in Yibum until 3 months have passed since her husband's death. The Gemara asks that while it's understandable that she may not do Yibum, since it's possible she may be pregnant, and if the child will be viable, the Yavam will have transgressed the Isser of Eshazach, but why may she not do Chalitza? After the first few explanations are rejected, the Gemara concludes that she may not do Chalitza based on what Rabbi Yossi taught regarding Chalitza, where the Pasuk states, Imo Yachbots, and if the man does not wish to take the Yavama in Yibum. This implies that if he would wish to, he could take her in Yibum. From here we learn, Kol Ola Yibum Ola Chalitza, because she ain't Ola Yibum, ain't Ola Chalitza. Whoever can do Yibum can do Chalitza, and whoever cannot do Yibum cannot do Chalitza. This is the reason that Chalitza cannot be done the first 3 months, since Yibum cannot be done then. And point number three was taught in the Braisa, Yavama Shlosha Chadashim Rishon Nizonis Mishal Baal. A Yavama, the first 3 months after her husband's death, she receives financial support from her husband's estate. From then on, she receives no support neither from her husband's estate or from the Yavam. Amad B'Dinu Baruch Nizonis Mishal Yavam. If he, the Yavam, was brought to Din by the Yavama for refusing to do Yibum or Chalitza and he ran away, then she is supported from the Yavam's property. The Gemara notes that if a Yavama fell to a Yavam Katan, a minor, she receives no support from the Yavam and asks if she receives support from the husband's estate. Rav Ach and Ravina disagree. One says she does and the other says she does not. And the halacha is she does not receive support. Mishamai Kansua. She has been penalized by Shamayim. Her husband is not responsible for her losing out. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, the Gemara asks, Mesa Ishto Mahu Biyabimto, what is the din in a case of where a brother is Mekadesh the sister of a Yavama who is waiting for Yibum and the sister dies? Is the brother permitted at the Yavama? Rashi explains that the question is, do we say that since his wife had died, the Isser of a wife's sister is removed and he may marry the Yavama? Or do we say that since at the time the Yibum took effect, she was prohibited to him as his wife's sister, even though the Isser of a wife's sister is removed, the Isser of Esha's Ach took effect, and she's considered like the wife of a brother who has children and is forbidden to him forever. Rav and Rabbi Chanina both say he's permitted to take the Yavama, and Shmuel and Rav Asi say that he's forbidden to take her. Rav said that Rav's reason for permitting the Yavama is Mushum Dehavia Yavama Shehutra Vanesra Bechaz Behutra, because she is a Yavama who was initially permitted to the Yavam, then forbidden, and then permitted again. Therefore, it's logical. She returns to her permitted state. Shmuel and Rav Asi hold Kevin Sha'amda Lav Sha'achaz Be'isr Netzra Lav Olamis. Since the Yavama stood before the Yavam in a forbidden state for even one moment, she's forbidden to him forever. Pointing me to the next Mishnah states, Hayavama Otachos Litisyabim Ad Sheyesh Lo Shlosha Chadashim. A Yavama may not perform Chalitza and is not taken in Yibum until 3 months have passed since her husband's death. The Gemara asks that while it's understandable that she may not do Yibum, since it's possible she may be pregnant, and if the child will be viable, the Yavam will have transgressed the Isser of Eshazach, but why may she not do Chalitza? After the first few explanations are rejected, the Gemara concludes that she may not do Chalitza based on what Rabbi Yossi taught regarding Chalitza, where the Pasuk states, Imo Yachbots, and if the man does not wish to take the Yavama in Yibum. This implies that if he would wish to, he could take her in Yibum. From here we learn, Kol Ola Yibum Ola Chalitza, because she ain't Ola Yibum, ain't Ola Chalitza. Whoever can do Yibum can do Chalitza, and whoever cannot do Yibum cannot do Chalitza. This is the reason that Chalitza cannot be done the first 3 months, since Yibum cannot be done then. And point number three was taught in the Braisa, Yavama Shlosha Chadashim Rishon Nizonis Mishal Baal. a Yavama, the first 3 months after her husband's death, she receives financial support from her husband's estate. From then on, she receives no support, neither from her husband's estate or from the Yavam. Amud b'dinu baruch nizonis mishal Yavam. If he, the Yavam, was brought to din by the Yavama for refusing to do Yibum or Chalitza and he ran away, then she is supported from the Yavam's property. The Gemara notes that if a Yavama fell to a Yavam Katan, a minor, she receives no support from the Yavam and asks if she receives support from the husband's estate. Rav Acha and Ravina disagree. One says she does and the other says she does not. And the halacha is she does not receive support. Mishamai Kansua. She has been penalized by Shemaim. Her husband is not responsible for her losing out. All right, so now we go to our Simen Daf Mem Aleph, and her standard Simen is a grandma, because Mem Aleph is Ma, and we use a grandma to make it a little more distinct. So here goes. The grandma who found out her grandson was Mekadosh, the sister of a Yavama, after her other grandson passed away, and then his wife died, told him he cannot do Chalitz in the first 3 months, since he cannot do Yibum, and that he better not be a naughty boy and run away, because the Yavama will be supported from his property. Once again, in slow motion. The grandma, that must be learned off Mem Aleph. The grandma who found out her grandson was Mekadosh, the sister of a Yavama, after her other grandson passed away, and then his wife died. Which reminds us, the Gemara asks, Mesa Ishto Mahi B'Yabimta, what is the din in a case of where a brother was Mekadosh, the sister of a Yavama, who was waiting for Yibum, and the sister dies? Is the brother permitted to the Yavama? Rav and Rabbi China both say he is permitted to take the Yavama, and Shmuel and Rav Asi say that he's forbidden to take. Rav said that Rav's reason for permitting the Yavama is Mishum Dehavi Yavama Shehutra B'Nesra V'Chazir V'Hutra, because he's the Yavama who was initially permitted to the Yavam, then forbidden, and then permitted again. Taksu Leheter HaRishon. Therefore, it's logical she returns to her permitted state. Shmuel Rav Asi hold Kevin She'amdo Lav She'achas Be'Isser Nesra Lav Olamis. Since the Yavama stood before the Yavam in a forbidden state for even one moment, she's forbidden to him forever. So, the grandma who found out her grandson was Mekadosh, the sister of a Yavama, after her other grandson passed away, and then his wife died, told him he cannot do Chalitza in the first 3 months, since he cannot do Yibum. Which reminds Rav Yossi taught regarding Chalitza, the Pasuk states, Imo Yachbots, and if the man does not wish to take his Yavama in Yibum. This implies that if he would wish to, he could take her in Yibum. From here we learn, Ko Ola Yibum Ola Chalitza, because she ain't no Ola Yibum, ain't no Ola Chalitza. Whoever can do Yibum can do Chalitza, and whoever cannot do Yibum cannot do Chalitza. This is the reason that Chalitza cannot be done the first 3 months after the husband's death, since Yibum cannot be done then. So, the grandma who found out her grandson was Mekadosh, the sister of a Yavama, after her other grandson passed away, and then his wife died, told him he cannot do Chalitza in the first 3 months, since he cannot do Yibum, and that he better not be a naughty boy and run away, because the Yavama will be supported from his property. Which reminds us, it was taught in the Brice, the Yavama Shlosha Chadashim Rishonim Nizonis Mishal Baal. A Yavama, the first 3 months after her husband's death, she receives financial support from her husband's estate. From then on, she receives no support, neither from her husband's estate or from the Yavam. Amad Bedin Ubarach Nizonis Mishal Yavam. If he, the Yavam, was brought to din by the Yavama for refusing to do Yibum or Chalitza and he ran away, then she is supported from the Yavam's property. The halacha is that if she fell to a Yavam Katan, a Yavam who is a minor, she does not receive support. Mishamaya Kansua, she has been penalized by Shemaim. Her husband is not responsible for her losing out. So once again, the grandma who found out her grandson was Mekadosh, the sister of a Yavama, after her other grandson passed away, and then his wife died, told him he cannot do Chalitza in the first 3 months, since he cannot do Yibum, and that he better not be a naughty boy and run away, because the Yavam will be supported from his property. All right, now it's time for a four blah back Chazorah. Daf Lamed Zayin. So the Simur Daf Lamed Zayin is laser tag. So here goes. When the pregnant woman playing laser tag, that must be more in Daf Lamed Zayin. When the pregnant woman playing laser tag, who passed her first trimester but wasn't showing, played against the majority of women who were, which reminds us, the Mishnah Daf Lamed Hey Amud Beis had said that if a child is possibly the 9-month-old baby of the deceased brother, or possibly the 7-month-old baby of the Yavam must divorce the Yavama, the child is kosher to marry a Jew, and they're chayav to bring an Ashen Talia. On this stuff, Rav Nachman explained that even though the majority of women give birth at 9 months, making this the child of the deceased brother, and the Yavam and Yavama who have transgressed the Isra of Eishes Ach, making them liable on Achatas, since most women who give birth at 9 months are showing at the first trimester, in this case of the Yavam, her fetus was not noticeable at 3 months, and therefore Yisrael Eruba, going according to the majority in her case, is weakened with respect to her. So, when the pregnant woman playing laser tag, who passed her first trimester but wasn't showing, played against the majority of women who were, she got help from a woman who had been married to a rabbi for one day, which reminds us, the Gemara explains how Rav and Rav Nachman could marry women in the place they visited and then divorce them when they left, and there was no concern that their children would unknowingly marry each other. So, when the pregnant woman playing laser tag, who passed her first trimester but wasn't showing, played against the majority of women who were, she got help from a woman who had been married to a rabbi for one day, who left to go back and judge an inheritance case involving a Suffolk child and a Yavam. Which reminds us, the first of eight cases dealing with disputes in inheritance is the case when the Suffolk child and the Yavam come to take possession of the estate of the deceased brother. The Suffolk child says that he's the son of the deceased brother, and therefore the estate is his. The Yavam claims that the Suffolk child is his son, and that he has no right in the estate. So this is a case of Mamun HaMutu B'Safek, money that lies in doubt. And since both sides have legitimate claims, Mamun HaMutu B'Safek Choking, money that lies in doubt, is divided between the parties. Daf Lamed Ches, so the Simra Daf Lamed Ches is a Darvalach, and we use chicken soup. So here goes. When the Shomer's Yavam inherited her father's famous secret chicken soup recipe, chicken soup, that must mean we're on Daf Lamed Ches, a Darvalach. When the Shomer's Yavam inherited her father's famous secret chicken soup recipe and sold it for millions, she gleefully told her Yavam it was all hers. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Shomer's Yavam should nafal in the chasim. If a Shomer's Yavam inherited property from her father, both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree, Shomer Cheres Menosenes V'Kayim, that she may sell it or give it away, and the transfer stands. They disagree if she dies before the Yibam is done in terms of who inherits her ksuba and Nixei Malu. So, when the Shomer's Yavam inherited her father's famous secret chicken soup recipe and sold it for millions, she gleefully told her Yavam it was all hers, since she was an Arusa and Zika's Arusa, Kasavak Arusa, which reminds us. The Gemara asks, what is the difference in the Reisha and the Seif of the Mishnah, in that Beis Shammai agree with Beis Hillel on the Reisha, that the woman has full possession of the property she inherits, and Beis Shammai disagree in the Seif that the husband gets part of the property? Ula said, in the Reisha she fell to Yibum when she was an Arusa, meaning her first husband died after he was Mekadosher, and in the Seifa she fell for Yibum as a Nesua. And Ula holds, Zika's Arusa osa Suffolk Arusa, and Zika's Nesua osa Suffolk Nesua. The Zika of an Arusa makes her like a Suffolk Arusa, and the Zika of a Nesua makes her like a Suffolk Nesua. So, when the Shomer's Yavam inherited her father's famous secret chicken soup recipe and sold it for millions, she gleefully told her Yavam it was all hers, since she was an Arusa and Zika's Arusa, Kasafik Arusa. And even if she had been an Asua, Zika's Nasua, Kasafik Nasua, and the rule is, ain't Safik Motzi, Mide Vadai. Which reminds us, Rabbi challenges Ula and holds that both the Reisha and the Seifa deal with where she fell for Yibum as an Asua and agrees with Ula that Zika's Nasua, Kasafik Nasua, in the Reisha, where she is alive, she has a Vadai claim to the property, and the Yavam has a Safik claim, since she's only a Safik Nasua, but ain't Safik Motzi, Mide Vadai. And a Suffolk claim cannot take money from the hands of one with a certain claim. In the Seifa where she died, both the heirs of the father come to inherit and the inheritors of the husband come to inherit, and both have Suffolk claims, therefore, yochaluku, they divide the money. Daf Lametes, so the Simra Daf Lametes is a letter, and we often use a mailman. So here goes. The mailman's daughter, mailman, that must be one Daf Lametes, letter. The mailman's daughter who inherited her father's world-class stamp collection before her husband died, which reminds us, Gemara brings two explanations as to why Beis Shammai ruled differently in the Reisha and Seifa of the Mishnah. Abai says that the Reisha refers to when the Yavama inherited the property when she was already Oshomer's Yavam, whereas the Seifa refers to when she inherited the property while her first husband was alive, and the Yaduk Yada, the husband's rights to the Nixim Elug, is equal to hers. Rava says both the Reisha and the Seifa deal with when she was Oshomer's Yavam. In the Reisha, the Yavam did not do Maimra, and in the Seifa, he did. Rava holds that according to Beis Shammai, Maimra makes the Yavama a Vadai Arusa Usafik Nesua. It makes her a certain Arusa in terms of being Docha or Tzara from Yibum, but it only makes her a Safik Nesua. Therefore, her heirs split the inheritance with Yavam. So, the mailman's daughter who inherited her father's world-class stamp collection before her husband died ended up collecting her ksuba from her first husband's estate, which reminds us that the chiyuv to pay the ksuba is upon her first husband's estate. The Gemara explains the reason for this is Isha hikna lo min shamayim. They bestowed a wife upon the Yavam from Shamayim. Rashi explains that the Yavam did not obligate himself in the ksuba in terms of creating a shibut, a lien, on any of his property. Therefore, the Yavam is permitted to sell his property whenever he wants. The Gemara clarifies that if the first husband did not leave her any property to collect her ksuba, the Rabbanan were mitaken that she should collect her ksuba from the Yavam, kidei shalit kal be'ena v'hotziya, in order that she should not be easy in his eyes to divorce. So, the mailman's daughter who inherited her father's world-class stamp collection before her husband died ended up collecting her ksuba from her first husband's estate when things didn't work out with her yavam, who did yibum with the stamp collection in mind. Which reminds us, Malchus, regarding which is preferred, yibum or chalitza, Abba Shul held that yibum is not preferred if there are ulterior motives, for it was taught in a brisa that Abba Shul said, if the yavam takes the yavama for the sake of beauty or for marriage or for any ulterior motive, ki u pokeo be erva, it's as though he engaged with an erva, and in my eyes, the child that is born is close to being a mamzer. Later, the Rabban came to agree with the Chachamim, who held that when the Pasuk states, Yavama Yavo Aleh, the Yavam shall have relations with her, it implies Mikol Makom, however he has relations with her, regardless of intent. Daf Mem, so the Simur Daf Mem is a swimming pool. So here goes. The father who inherited a swimming pool, that must mean we're in Daf Mem, Mayim. The father who inherited a swimming pool after Yibum was done for his deceased son, which reminds us, there's a Malchus Tanakam Rabbi Yehuda regarding who inherits the deceased brother's property, his father or the Yavam. The Tanakama holds it's the Yavam, for the Pasuk states, Yakum Hashem Achiv, he shall succeed in the name of the deceased brother, whereas Rabbi Yehuda holds it's the father, for the Pasuk refers to the Yavam as the Bechor, to teach that he is Kebechor, like a Bechor. Just as a Bechor, even though he gets an extra share of the inheritance, does not get any of it while his father is still alive, so too the Yavam has none of the inheritance while his father is alive. So the father who inherited a swimming pool after Yibum was done for his deceased son hosted a Shnias of a Chalutza swimming party, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Al-Chos Yabimta hu Asur Bekrova Seah V'Asur Bekrova, one who did Chalitza with his Yavam is Asur to her relatives, and she is Asur to his relatives. Rabban decreed that since a Chalutza is similar to a Gerusha, the relatives that are forbidden to a husband and his ex-wife should apply to a Chalutza as well. The Gemara asked that the Rabban decreed Shnias should be forbidden to a Chalutza or not. Do we say that the only where goes to Shnias where the primary relative is an Erva Daraisa, but for a Chalutza, in which the primary relatives are only the Rabbanan, they did not, or were they Gozer Shnios? In any case, the Gemara brings up proof that they were Gozer Shnios from the fact that Ben Bito, his daughter's son, is forbidden to the Chalutza, and that is a Shnia relationship. So the father who inherited a swimming pool after Yibum was done for his deceased son hosted a Shnios of a Chalutza swimming party and invited a Yavam who did Chalutza and was upset he couldn't marry the Tzara of the sister of his Chalutza. Which reminds us, the Mishnah stated, Mutar ad mikrovas tzaras chalutzaso, v'asim b'tzaras krovas chalutzaso. The Yavam is permitted to the relatives of the tzara of his chalutza, but is prohibited to the tzara of the relatives of his chalutza. The Gemara explains that regarding the relative of the chalutza, referring to her sister, who accompanies her to Beis Din, the Rabban decreed that she should be treated like the chalutza herself, and her tzara should become forbidden. Rashi clarifies that people might mistakenly think that the sister is the chalutza, and if the Yavam ever married the sister's tzara, people might think that he's doing Yibum with his Chalutza's Tzara, and that he's permitted to do so. Therefore, the Rabban prohibited one from marrying the Tzara of his Chalutza's sister. All right, so that concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avram Goldman Zichu wishing a great day and great learning.